Ted Simon, author of Jupiter's Travels, recently spoke to Naxos Audiobooks from his home in California. I began by asking him what inspired his extraordinary motorbike journey back in 1973.
Oh, everybody wants to know why I went round the world, and I've never understood the question. It was just sheer, unbridled, insatiable curiosity that made me do it.
But to do it on a motorbike was a bold move. Were you confident about servicing the bike yourself?
Well, it's a very weird thing. I think it has something to do with my upbringing and my education. I had a scientific education, and this will sound frankly self-inflating, I suppose, but I've always imagined that I could do almost anything and get away with it. And although I'd never actually had a motorcycle or ridden one or worked on them, I knew enough about basic engineering, and I thought, well, you know, it's a simple machine. I should be able to manage all right. And I did.
I guess it's that kind of calm confidence that served you well in all kinds of sticky situations.
You're right, yes.
Can you pinpoint one favourite moment from your whole trip?
Well, these special moments, there were so many. But I think the most dramatic moment is also perhaps the hardest to describe. But it was when I'd finished with Africa, and I'd gone from London to Africa, to Cape Town, and I was so overwhelmed by the thought of what I'd done. There was an extraordinary kind of flash of consciousness in my mind when suddenly it seemed as though I could see the whole of Africa, as though I could somehow grasp the whole of Africa in one shot. It was very, very, very powerful, and it went as fast as it came, but I remember it today. It was very dramatic.
There's so much detail in the book, many other thoughts and stories. How did you remember it all? Did you write a diary?
Yes, I kept four notebooks and filled them completely with tiny spidery writing, and I found that to be an absolutely essential thing to do. The strange thing is that at the end of the journey, I hardly ever had to look at the notebooks when I was writing the book, but it was the mere fact of having written them down that fixed them in my memory.
So after that amazing journey, did you find it hard to settle when you came home?
I found it hard. I think the people around me found it a lot harder. I was very intolerant of all their complaints, because to me, just the mere fact of being alive seemed so wonderful. And of course, I would annoy them by sleeping on the floor rather than in a bed. But that didn't last very long. I reintegrated relatively soon.
Was that because you began to rely on home comforts again, or because you realised you had to fit in?
Oh, yeah, it's fitting in. Well, one has to fit in to some degree, otherwise one really becomes an outcast.
So do you still ride a motorbike?
Yes, I do. Not very much, not as much as I did before, but I still do. I still think it's a very useful way to just travel around. When I come to Europe, I tend to use a bike to visit all my friends and so on.
You live in California at the moment. Would you consider living anywhere else in the world?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I'm hoping to spend more and more time in France, where I probably really should have stayed in the first place, but all kinds of other considerations came into play at the time. I've been over here in California now for 35 years, to my amazement. But I'm always travelling back to Europe, and I think really in the end, France is where I'd most like to live.
You undertook another round-the-world journey several years later, documented in your book Dreaming of Jupiter. What was the springboard for setting off again?
Well, when I got to be 69 years old, and it had already been, 28 years since the journey, somebody's said, why don't you go again and take some decent photographs this time? And it put the thought in my mind that I didn't see any reason why. I felt perfectly fit and capable of doing it. And it seemed to me then that so many people had read Jupiter's Travels and had read my description of the places that I visited on that first journey that it would be, should be very interesting to them to see what had happened in the intervening decades. And that's really why I did it. I did it more as a reportage than as an adventure.
And were your experiences strikingly different from what you expected?
Well, they weren't so much different as they were what I expected, but more so. I think that's the whole point. I knew that the world had acquired another 3 or 4 billion people in the meanwhile, and I knew that the information revolution had changed a lot of things. And I had, after all, been around a bit in the intervening years anyway. But it was really extraordinary when I was traveling to find the places that I'd remembered in various cities around the world and discovered that it was almost impossible to get to them because of the amount of building, the slums, favelas, whatever you call them, around all the major cities. The pollution was terrible. All this impact of population growth and all the conflicts that had arisen in the meanwhile that muddied everything up, mixed up all the cultural patterns in the various continents. All those things made it a much worse sort of experience than I would have expected from the point of view of someone viewing the world as a whole, if you like. I mean, as a personal adventure, it was wonderful. It was just as exciting as ever. But from a reporter's point of view, it was not nice, with the sole exception of Latin America, which had obviously improved politically enormously in the meantime.
Are you fearless?
Fearless? Me? Fearless? No, not at all. I'm as scared as anybody. And I mean, before I started the journey, I was afraid of what might happen. And during the journey, I was often afraid, sometimes for good reason, as when I was locked up by the police in Brazil, but at other times for just simply through my own imaginings of what might happen. Obviously, you have to learn a lot about how to stay out of trouble when you're on a journey like the one I took. So not to be afraid would be absurd.
And luckily, by and large, you did stay out of trouble.
Yes, thank goodness. I was frightened enough to stay out of trouble. Yes.
Well, thank you, Ted, for chatting a little about your journey. It was very nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you again, too.